Hot Tackler, episode 433, Anniversary Mayhem, for July 17th, 2014. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla Todd.
And we are back for some more good news about the Halo Master Chief Collection and Halo 2 Anniversary. We talked a little bit about it last week, but we wanted to get into a few more details since we kind of did more of an RTX recap last week. And we had Goose Chica on, we had Justin Bryce on from Drunken Halo, and we had Biowolf on. And we had a lot of good things to talk about. Lots of good memories that were made during RTX, including the big Halo party during Saturday night, which had the big Halo 2 LAN, which was awesome. But we do have some more information to cover regarding what was talked about during the Halo panel at RTX. So we want to go over some of that. We want to go over some of the more recent news, especially some slightly disturbing news from today, and then some other stuff that we can expect coming from San Diego Comic-Con next week. So lots of good stuff. But as I have my right-hand man, Godzilla Todd, pulling the back seat, we were supposed to have Wayne Time on. I don't know where he is, so we'll try to get him on a later date. And Brent isn't here either. We'll have more to share on that later. But for now, we're going to dive straight into some of the Halo Master Chief Collection stuff that we didn't quite talk about yet, but was covered during the panel at RTX. First, though, Godzilla, I want to get your impressions of what was shown during the panel. I'm assuming you either watched the stream live or you went back and watched the panel. So what was your kind of reaction to the everything that was presented?
Dumbfounded.
That's one way to put it.
I went into mental overload for about 12 hours because that's how long it took me to process all the information. I loved it.
Took that long, huh?
Oh, I'm slow. It comes with age. You get to look forward
not
to
not saying
it.
Anything. Don't remind me.
But it was a lot of information in a short period of time. And some of it, I still don't know what to think of it. I'm sitting here looking at the Gun Goose and loving it. Can't wait to play that thing.
Is that your favorite thing?
Actually, my favorite thing is the stuff they showed for Ascension, the map remake.
Yeah, it looks like that was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it looks like that's going to be a blast. I can't wait to see what they've done for Coagulation. The concept art blew me away. It looks so much like it, but not like it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see an actual in-game shot of it.
I know, it's going to be so much fun. Not to mention Coagulation, which is the other remake that they advertised.
Yeah. Yeah, the modifications they've made to Ascension with the extra, what do you call it, the jet out on that lower bridge, you know, where you can kind of hide and pick up that overshield.
Yeah, the extra little bit that they added in there on the Skybridge, that was pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I got sniped off Skybridge. But it looks like it's going to be an awesome map to play.
Yeah, there's lots of interesting new additions, too. What do you think about the shield for the dome, or the dish in the middle?
That is going to change a lot of tactics. For one bomb, one flag CTF, Team Slayer. I'm going to be really interested to see how people deploy that shield. You know, how they work it into their team matches. I like it.
Well, one of the things that I thought about whenever they showed the shield was I'm used to a lot of fights going on in the dish. So lots of grenades thrown, lots of rockets shot whenever there's team rockets or something like that. So it's going to be interesting when you have the bloodbath of the dish just come into play and then everything's going to be encased in the shield. So you have grenades flying everywhere, you'll have rockets, you'll have shotguns, you'll have everything contained in this one little area. It was a bloodbath already. It's going to be an all-out bloodbath whenever we get this shield on Ascension.
Yeah, it's going to turn it into the Thunderdome on Ascension.
For the most part, yeah. But it's going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And it could mean that we're going to see some other stuff come out of the other maps that they're remaking in terms of switches, too. So maybe some more interactive elements on Coagulation or some of the other maps, which hasn't been announced yet. I'm going to take just a wild guess that Zanzibar and Midship may be two of the other ones because they were talking about the paper drawings that they had and that they showed during the panel. And Lockout was another big one too, so we may see that one as well. So those are kind of what I'm looking at, potential maps. I have a feeling we may get another one revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. If not, we'll definitely get one shown, or maybe the rest of them shown, at PAX Prime later this year.
Oh, definitely. Zanzibar, I almost feel like it's going to be there, because that's one of the most favorite maps for objective tape type games in Halo 2, especially, you know, one flag or one bomb.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more iconic maps for Halo 3.
Midship also is right up there, too.
Yeah, Midship was a good one.
Yeah.
Zanzibar is interesting because it was, in my opinion, one of the more iconic maps in Halo 3. Mm-hmm. You have that one, you have Coagulation, you have Ascension, which was definitely a huge one. And then there are definitely other ones that people would consider big ones. Terminal, Containment, Backwash for the select few. But all those maps are going to be fun to play just for the regular Halo 2. Have those up-res and on dedicated servers, and then whatever they choose for the anniversary months are going to be even more beautiful. What did you think when they said that the ring that was in the skybox was to scale built out?
The first thing I thought is, once I get the game, I'm going to load up Ascension, and I'm going to go stand over there where the Banshee is and watch.
For how long?
I don't know. Until I get bored or the Xbox crashes. I don't know. But I'm going to love it. They show just a little bit of it on the panel, and just to watch it move underneath the map. Because I always thought, you know, from the original map that it was like, say, in geosync orbit over the ring. Uh-huh. Because you never saw the ring moving under it. I knew it was floating, but I thought it was like tethered to the ring. So right. It was in a fixed position. But to see that the ring is rotating under it and it's just kind of floating out in space, not tethered to anything.
In space. Sorry. But yeah, it's going to be really cool. It would be a really cool backdrop for the live stream, too, whenever that goes up and running. So go into theater, just take a long clip of the Halo ring moving around, and just have that as the background for our podcast. That would be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's another 4 months away, though.
I know.
Well, 5 months away. No, I was right. 4 months away. 7 to 11. Yeah. Math. Hard. Sometimes. Anyways, lots of cool stuff during that presentation. Anything else that kind of stuck out to you?
No, you mentioned them going over the original plans of the maps. I was really intrigued by that, to hear from basically the person that designed them, what they went through to design these, and to find out the time frame that they designed them in, and to see how well they turned out. It was just awesome. Gun Goose definitely stood out. Miss that one.
Everybody is excited about the Gun Goose.
I liked and right off the top of my head, I can't think of them, but some of the new game types that they were showing.
Yeah, so they said that for the Halo 2 anniversary, they're adding game types: Ricochet, Race, SWAT, Infection, and more, which are to later come. Race is going to be good. I really enjoy Race in Halo. And then Ricochet, just with the variety that you can do with the Ricochet game type in Halo 4, if they have all of those options in Halo 2 and maybe add a couple other things, we could see a lot of cool customs in the Halo 2 sandbox, or the Halo 2 Anniversary sandbox, which is going to be a tad different from Halo 2. And I've been talking to some of the Griffball people, especially during RTX, and they're like, if there's a way to take Ricochet and make it into a Griffball game type for Halo 2, you can be sure that we'll see some Griffball variants, possibly on Coagulation and whatever other map they decide to put up there. I believe Containment was one we discussed as well. So if they have Containment in there, and definitely for Coagulation, we could see some Griffball maps in there.
Hey, Griffball under the bubble shield. Too bad you can't set it to stay on all the time, but...
Well, that would be way too small, too.
Well, like a two-person Griffball. I don't know.
Griffball.
Hey, 1v1 Griffball. There you go. Nah, not as much fun.
That would be over way too quick, I think. Interesting concept, but probably not. Anyways, as far as some of the other stuff during the panel, they mentioned that there was actually thinking about doing a warfare mode for Halo 2, which was going to be a 32-player game mode. they decided to scrap that. And with how Halo works these days and how hectic 16 players can be depending on the size of the map, I'm almost happy that they didn't go with the 32-player implementation, but with how big some of the maps are, like Waterworks and like Containment, I could see where they could fit a 32-player game in there. Just a 32-player game for Halo, having 32 Spartans on the map would be insane. Just being able to track everything.
I honestly think that Coagulation and Waterworks, it almost seemed crowded. It'd be like having 16 players on midship.
Not really, because the maps are, I think, big enough to where you wouldn't see... You would see about the same amount of people in the smaller maps as you would do for the 4-on-4 if you had 16-on-16. Because I know for Waterworks, even with this full 16 people, you had to walk around to find somebody. It wasn't... Someone was always there, where for a lot of the smaller maps on the 4v4, you could almost find someone for sure within 5 seconds. Where Waterworks is like, you have to walk away, you have to get position, and 20 seconds go by, and you may not be firing a shot yet.
Been a long time since I played 16 players on Waterworks, so...
Yeah,
I used to play with my friends over Xbox Live, and it was just like five of us on Waterworks, and we always seemed to find each other pretty quickly.
It would seem that having some more people, though, when there aren't as many vehicles, and that may be one of the other things, too, is those bigger maps usually have those bigger vehicles, so it is somewhat easier to find people or to get found when someone's in the tank. But as far as being on foot, I think a 32-player in those kind of environments would have worked, although I don't know how much of an adaptation there is. And it seems like 8v8 is a good number for multiplayer online. At least it seems to have balanced out that way.
Didn't they mention something that they were having trouble with stability of the matches or something? Thought I heard him say something like that, but maybe I was just reading something, reading into it. But yeah, I agree with you, Dust. I think the 8v8 works well for pretty much all the Halo maps. Some of them are bigger than other, you know, you've got the big maps, and it's nice to have that extra room to move around, where you're not constantly trying to maneuver around your teammates and stuff, like if you are in a tank or something like that.
Right. It's one of those things that I think in theory could have worked, depending on the map design that they had in mind for the 32-player maps. And there could have been bigger maps, too. We don't know what those maps are. We didn't have the paper drawings of those maps. They didn't pull those along. But we still got some good experiences out of the ones that we got for Halo 2. It's the game that has the most maps on it. And it's definitely one of the most memorable maps, map set, I think, out of all the games. So, good stuff. We'll have to wait to see what the other four maps are. Some of the other things from the Rooster Teeth panel that they had, there's weapon markers now for the Halo 2 anniversary. It's not showing like the actual icon indicators like you do in Halo 4, but when you walk by a weapon and if it's in view, like if you're within, no one, I'm going to guess maybe 30 meters or so, you have this little kind of waypoint marker that points up above the weapon so you can see weapons that are on the ground. That's a really cool addition. It's something that's not too obtrusive to the UI, but I think it's a nice little addition that kind of dials back from the little weapon icons that they had, because one of the things that people were actually complaining about early on in Halo 4 after it got released was just all of the icons that were on the screen because of all the ordnance drops. But now what you have is whenever there's a weapon on the map, even and they didn't really show this off too much because there was only one person showing the demo, but I'm going to say it's probably for drop weapons too, but whenever you go buy a weapon, there's just a little marker there that says there's a weapon on the ground. And I know when I play with my dad, he has a hard time seeing what weapons are actually on the ground. So having the icons there, just being able to go up and see that there is a weapon there would be actually pretty helpful. So I actually kind of like that version of the waypoints other than the weapon icons themselves.
Yeah, me too. I learned to adapt to it with Halo 4. But yes, with all the weapon icons on the screen, it did get cluttered. I like the fact that you have to be close to the weapon for the icon to show up. Be a nice way to, you know, to check on snipe or check on rockets. You don't have to actually go to the spawn. You can just get within the 30 meters of the spawn to see if the weapon is there. As far as dropped weapons, I don't know if they're going to have the waypoints on them or not.
I think they could.
I'm sure they could.
Just because of the way I think Halo 2 would do the weapons, because for Halo 4, it was ordnance weapons that only had the icons. If you had the weapons set in-game, or if someone dropped the weapons, they didn't have the icon there. So my guess would be that it's just all weapons that are on the map are going to have that little waypoint marker over there, over where they are.
Yeah, the weapons that actually spawn on the map.
Well, no, the weapons that spawn on the map and the ones that are dropped, I think, will have the markers. But that's just my opinion. One of the other things that they talked about was, of course, the switch for the satellite dish shield. We talked about that a little bit already. And the change to the sky bridge that they made, there are actually a few important things. There's four key things that I took out. First is that the cover from the big tower has basically been increased, so those little arches on the sky bridge have actually been built out. Built up, and they're thicker. So one of the big things was that you would have a sniper that would sit on the sniper tower on the little corner and just watch down the bridge and just snipe people. So now there's a lot more cover, and you're able to get to the sniper tower a little bit more safely when you go across the sky bridge. One of the other things is there's a wider entrance now from the Banshee side of the sky bridge. So if you remember, there was this just little walkway that you would walk down and then get onto the sky bridge. And I remember several times where I would actually walk down that, and I would walk over the railing and fall off the map. So this is a little bit wider now. It's easier to get onto and access. And it just, from the development side of things, it made more sense to widen that and make it a little more accessible for people.
Yeah, I like the modification at that corner.
Yeah, it was one of those things that's like, oh, that's actually a nice little addition that's not too detrimental and not that much of a game changer. So I really enjoyed that, seeing that change as well. And I think it's not going to really alter gameplay that much.
No, I actually think it's going to help it. There's been more than once I've been going around that corner and got caught on the geometry or something, or walked off the edge because I wasn't paying attention to where I was. So I think that's going to make a big improvement on the gameplay, at least right there in that corner.
Uh-huh. One of the other things that they changed was there's now a built-out area underneath the bridge drop-on. So from the middle, there's a little outlet that stuck out, and you could actually jump over to the sky bridge. So they actually built that under, and they have an overshield placed there now. So that was built out. That's a little addition. And if you know from a lot of the other anniversary maps from Halo, Halo Reach for the CE anniversary maps, and then some of the stuff that we got for remakes in Halo 4, they have these little extra pieces that they put in. So this is a little extra piece that they add to Ascension. I don't see that one going to be as too much of a game changer, but I do see it as a good strategic point for maybe looking up the ramp. I don't know what the angles would be to see the ramp going up the sniper tower, but it may give you some other vantage points. And then there's a skill jump that I didn't even know existed from the sky bridge up to top mid. So they made that skill jump a little bit easier, and there's actually a ramp that goes up to the top mid from the sky bridge. So they added that, and then they added a carbine on the bridge just to give a little extra firepower for people that are down there. So those are the big changes to Ascension. Nothing in terms of new weapons that we saw on Ascension, but they did list out new weapons during the panel. They mentioned that there's going to be an assault rifle introduced, silenced SMG, which we're still not sure which one it is yet, but my guess it might be the one from Halo 2 PC, Halo 2 Vista. Speed boost is going to be included, and mongoose, the gun geese. So, and regular mongoose is going to be in there too, but gun geese is the more preferred one for everyone, I think, coming to the Halo 2 anniversary side of things.
I just can't wait to see what the Forgers do with it.
I'd be interesting to see what four pieces that they've actually included in there, because we already have the satellite dish. I don't think they're going to forge that piece out or in to the map, but they're probably going to be lots of rocks. There's probably going to be some of the forerunner walkways and things, but mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to see what they decide to come out with and show off. I'm hoping they get to show some stuff at San Diego Comic-Con. I hope they show some of the theater and forge stuff there, because that's some of the info that we know exists for Halo 2 anniversary, but we don't really know much of what's going on there. So I'm hoping we get some more info on those two pieces specifically about Halo 2 anniversary during the panel that they have on Saturday or Friday. Speaking of which, Halo is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, which is starting next week on Thursday. So they have two panels. The first one is on Thursday, July 24th, and that's going to be Nightfall First Look. So they're going to go into some of the story behind Nightfall and talk a little bit more about that project. It's the first time you're going to be able to really dive deep into what Nightfall is going to be. And the description here, just so you guys know, is: prepare for your next step in the Halo journey with a deep dive into Halo Nightfall, the upcoming live-action digital series from 343 Industries and Scott Free Productions. Join 343's Kiki Wolfkill, Frank O'Connor, along with key Halo Nightfall cast and crew to be among the first to get details of the story and production, as well as see a short video tease. So everyone that's at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, I am envious of you. Hope you have a good time to see that one. That one's, again, is on Thursday, July 24th, and it starts at 11:45 a.m. in room 6BCF. And the panels that are going to be at San Diego Comic-Con are actually going to be recorded. They're not going to be live streamed, so we'll see those probably a week or so after San Diego Comic-Con concludes.
I can't wait to see those panels.
I'm really excited to see what they do with Nightfall.
Be nice to hear more about it. Find out which way they're, to get them to point us in the right direction of where they're taking the characters and such.
I'm really excited to see some more information on this. And I knew San Diego Comic-Con was going to be the first place that they showed a lot of this stuff. But as far as getting any information about it, all we know is that Commander Locke or Agent Locke is the main focus of the digital feature. So we do have another actress, though, that got announced. Christina Chung, she's a British actor. She's been in TV productions such as 24 and Doctor Who. She's going to be another main character in Halo Nightfall. So she's going to play the female lead of Macer. But that's the only details that we have at this time. So we'll hopefully see more information about that coming up in San Diego Comic-Con. Maybe she'll be there. Maybe the guy that's playing Agent Locke, which I forget his name at the moment, maybe he'll be there talking about the Nightfall series at San Diego Comic-Con. So,
well, they do say there'll be cast and crew there, so.
Yep. Yeah, so hopefully we get to see maybe both of their faces, maybe some new faces, which they haven't announced yet. That would also be cool as well. Another panel that they're doing, of course, is Halo the Master Chief Collection Developer Panel, and that one's going to be on Friday, July 25th, at 10:15 a.m. in the same room, room 6BCF. The description for this one is: join 343 Industries Senior Producer Dennis Rice, Franchise Director Frank O'Connor, and Certain Affinity's President and Original Halo 2 Multiplayer and Online Design Lead Max Hoberman, who actually Dennis Rice and Max were at RTX, so that's nice to see them back talking about it again. See them and other guests for an in-depth conversation about Halo the Master Chief Collection. Fans can hear about what to expect from the compilation and discuss the efforts being made to bring the story of the Master Chief and Halo's legendary multiplayer to a new generation. So more information, of course, just coming out of all these conventions. We're going to get some more details about the Master Chief Collection. Hopefully more stuff about Nightfall from the Nightfall panel, and then, of course, all the juicy details regarding Halo 2 Anniversary, and then what other details that they have about the rest of the Master Chief Collection. I think one of the things I would like to see a little bit more of is just some of the smaller details. We got a lot of big details regarding Halo 2 Anniversary, and while a lot of that stuff is good, and I think that's a lot of stuff that people want to see, I would like to see a few more things talked about some of the smaller aspects. So what things we'll see in theater? Are there going to be any changes to theater? Are there going to be any changes to Forge? What new features and additions are we going to see to both of those functionalities? What other game types or other things that they're going to tweak from the existing games are we going to see? All that kind of stuff. While I like the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff, I want to see a little more information regarding the other three games that are in there as well.
As far as from what they've released so far, it doesn't sound like they're going to make any major changes to, Halo 4 or Halo 3's Forge. I think as far as changes to Forge that we may see, those will be, confined to the anniversary maps. Could be dead wrong about that. I've heard a couple of rumors that they may increase the Forge budget because, of course, the Xbox One has more memory, so it can handle more objects on the map.
Uh-huh. I don't think we're going to see much of an infrastructure change from the gameplay perspective for Halo 3 and Halo 4. And I would say Halo 1 as well. We're going to see changes made from a UI perspective, of course, for the menu, and definitely Halo 2 Anniversary. But from talking with Bravo, it does seem like they're interested in trying to do a couple of things with the rest of the games, and they're just kind of toying with whether or not they have time to, or if they have the ability to change it without completely messing around with the rest of the game mechanics. So while everything is not set in stone for the rest of the games, pretty much as we knew them at the final, with their final updates, is what we're going to get with the Master Chief Collection. But you never know quite until you get the final product. So we may see a couple little tidbits. One thing I can think of is for the map complex, changing or fixing the little geometry glitch in that one base to where you can't actually jump through it, and making that native in the game. So it's little fixes like that, I think, where you could see them update those games and just have those little fixes applied. But there could be some other things too.
Yeah, I was never able to make that work.
Well, they patched it in about 6 weeks after the game came out. So unless you were playing on that pretty religiously or knew about it during that time frame, then you may have known about it. But if you didn't, then you probably never knew it ever existed.
I heard rumors of it, but I may have tried it after they patched it, because for the first couple months, I was probably pretty religiously playing the campaign on it. I did play multiplayer, but I was spending most of my time in campaign, so I may have just got in there after they had patched it.
Got it. So one of the other things, too, that I want to see them talk about during San Diego Comic-Con, which we may get during the Master Chief panel, is some of the stuff we're going to see regarding the terminals. And I actually think that's probably going to be a big topic for that panel, is how we're going to see the Arbiter's story be unveiled in the terminals. What are we going to see of Agent Locke in the terminals? What's that little tease going to be for that? And of course, the terminals are supposed to really cover the Arbiter's backstory. And it looks like the Arbiter's going to be a prominent player in Halo 5 Guardians. And of course, we have the prologue and the epilogue, which we have no idea what those are going to be yet for Halo 2 Anniversary. So I'm hoping we get some more information regarding those. When everything's said and done with San Diego Comic-Con, though, we will be able to see the panels. They're, of course, not live streamed, but they will be posted on the Halo Waypoint YouTube channel, and they will be posting updates, of course, on their Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages as well. So make sure you are subscribed or following all those accounts, and you'll be able to stay up to date with all the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. And I, for once, will actually be able to post about news instead of being there and just having a good time. Because for E3, I know I didn't post anything during the actual convention. And then same thing for RTX. I didn't post anything during that either. So I'll be on the back seat watching all the stuff go on and then making regular posts, hopefully nightly on Thursday and Friday, just as we get information flowing in from San Diego Comic-Con, and then anything else is going to be there. Laird, one of our good friends, is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, and he's going to try to get some of the download information for us. So, Laird, if you're out there on the live stream tonight, shout outs to you. Go make us proud. Go have fun, and hopefully I can join you guys next year. So that pretty much covers all of the RTX Halo-related news. Some stuff that we want to get to for some current news. Before we get to this week's bulletin, a couple things going on around the community. Drunken Halo, which is a podcast that is kind of a little more laid back. It's more of a social podcast where two brothers talk about Halo and some of their stuff that they do, just kind of day-to-day stuff. Justin Bryce was on last week, and it was on my panel. He's the host over there, and they're hosting their third FFA tournament. Tournament registration opens on July 21st, and it ends on August 8th, with tournament playing starting on August 11th. So if you want for more information on that, you can just go over to jtpodcasts.com/1v1info, and you'll be able to get some more information on that. I was actually invited to play in the 1v1 last year, and I got to the semifinals before being eliminated by the person that actually won. So it was a lot of fun. I will say that it's not your traditional 1v1. It is still competitive. You will have a lot of fun and it will be challenging. But don't think of it as like MLG 1v1. They have a little bit different rule sets when it comes to how they run their tournament. But it's still a lot of fun. So I highly suggest you go check them out. You can get some more details over there on their website. Or you can listen to the latest episode of the Drunken Halo podcast, which is episode number 82. So make sure you go check that out. Some other news. We have Microsoft console numbers doubling in the month of June. So we have the announcement of the Kinect and everything going up on for the gamer stuff from E3 drove up sales to be pretty much double of what it was for the past month. So gamers speak whenever we get something that doesn't have a peripheral that people think it shouldn't have. So yeah, that's good news, right?
Oh, definitely. I'm glad to see the quick response from the gaming community on that. I know that was a big sore point for a lot of people to have that Kinect and only be able to buy only to have the one option for the console. It's nice to see them realize that and drop it and say, hey, okay, well, no, you don't really have to buy the console with it. And to see the community respond so quickly with the sales, that's really, really impressive.
Definitely. But unfortunately, following such good news for Xbox, or bad news, depending on where you stand on that, there's the news that Microsoft is laying off approximately 18,000 employees from a restructuring that they're doing throughout the entire company. And Xbox Entertainment Studios, which just launched their first production last month, is going to slowly get the axe. So over the next 12 months, Xbox Entertainment Studios, which is behind some of the productions like the Halo TV show and the Halo Digital short Nightfall, is going to get cut. Luckily, they're not going to affect any of the projects that are currently out there, currently being worked on. So all of our beloved Halo productions are going on with the Ridley Scott Nightfall feature and the Steven Spielberg TV show are still going to be there. They're just going to fall under 343's oversight instead of XES. But this is still kind of concerning just from a Microsoft standpoint where there are so many people being laid off. So for everyone that's over in Redmond and across Microsoft that I personally know, best of luck to you guys out there. Really sorry to hear this. It definitely sucks. And I just hope that you guys are, for those that get canned, that you guys find another home that you can just enjoy and have a good time working. Or maybe it's time to retire and you can find a good place to settle down. But yeah, that's one other piece of news that came out today that was kind of shocking, although we had heard some stuff about it on Twitter and other social media and other news places where there were rumors of them about to make an announcement, and they made the official announcement today. And then Phil Spencer actually sent down an email to the rest of the Xbox side of Microsoft, kind of just boiling down the details of what it means for Xbox. And unfortunately, Xbox Entertainment Studio is the big thing that's going to get the cut.
Yeah, I give all my best wishes to those people that are being let go. I understand what working for a corporation is like. Thankfully, I was able to choose to leave and to a better position. But my best wishes goes out to all of them. I hope they find a place where they can call it home.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about this series of events, though, is they really pushed so much from the entertainment aspect of the Xbox One since they announced it last year. And to see that they're really changing gears, just even with Phil Spencer coming in, really changing the focus to games during E3. And it's been a dramatic change for Xbox trying to get back to compete with Sony. They're just making a lot of changes. And actually, a big part of this restructuring was killing off the entire Android branch from Nokia. And there's some other Nokia stuff going on as well. So that was actually the big piece of this cut, but unfortunately, Xbox Entertainment Studios was also cut as they're trying to refocus on what the Xbox platform is designed to be. So they're actually dialing back a little bit on the all-in-one side of the entertainment stuff, and they're going to focus a little bit more on getting the dedicated entertainment apps. So things like Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, TV providers, and all that stuff. So they're going to focus a little more on getting those premier apps onto the console and let them take care of the content production. But luckily, none of our Halo stuff is affected, which is awesome. But it's still kind of sad that we're seeing all these people have to get cut out. So
definitely.
Let's see. Next up on the list of things to talk about is Forward Unto Dawn podcast, which is a good friend of ours, has released another episode from a 5-month hiatus, which is a long time coming. So they actually get out of their shell a little bit to talk about Halo 5 thoughts, Halo 2 Anniversary, Terminals, Nightfall. And there's a mysterious account called Catalog on Waypoint that's been making some interesting forum posts. I haven't had a chance to go check them out, but I did take a quick glance at them, and it looks like kind of an ARG type of thing going on with that user. So I'm going to go and check it out a little bit more this weekend and see what's going on over there. Lots of cool stuff around the Halo 2 anniversary. And I'm really interested to see where they're taking with this. And I actually like seeing that they're kind of getting a little more interactive with their stuff, because Bungie had some really cool promo stuff from the I Love Bees to the Halo 3 ARG that they had. So to see that Waypoint is starting to really dive into that a little bit is kind of exciting. Gives me the feels.
Yeah, it's good to see them interacting with the community. I've been watching videos on the catalog posts through Halo Canon, and I really enjoyed them. It's nice that he's putting out those videos, because reading the posts, I don't get them. But he does a really good job of explaining them. They're just a little bit outside my realm of understanding when it comes to that type of ARG or that form of thinking. So I've really enjoyed all the posts. They're really good and interesting posts. They make you think.
They definitely do. But yeah, they're back doing the podcast. Halo Gaff Radio is actually back too. They're actually under, I believe, Reclaimer Radio is what they called it. I was actually talking to them at, I think it was E3. Yeah. And they said that they were bringing back the podcast, and I just saw in my iTunes feed last week that they did have a new show up under the same feed as it was last time. So if you were following Halo Gaff before on iTunes and you didn't unsubscribe yet, you actually will get the new podcast feed in there. So I believe it's called Reclaimer Radio, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I know it's out there. So it's another good Halo podcast to go listen to. Make sure you go check it out. You can either find it at halogaff.com, or you can just search for Halo Gaff Radio on iTunes, and I believe you'll find it there as well.
I'll have to go check my feed, see if I've got the new episode downloaded.
Do it, man.
I'll wait until after the podcast.
That's fine. On other news fronts, we have another community spotlight. This week, it's Flamesword. He's one of the Halo pros, and they actually go through a little bit of some of the not quite competitive stuff that he does, but he's very focused on healthy lifestyle too. So you'll see some of how his gamer culture crosses over with him staying fit and what he does on his YouTube channel, which isn't just strictly Halo, but just staying active and healthy as being one of the key things that he does as a gamer, which is pretty cool. But you'll go in there and see that he really got into Halo during Halo 2 and Halo CE. He's part of Optic Gaming, really likes lockout FFA snipers and lots of other stuff. There's, of course, the Spectator mode, which is one of the number one things on his wish list, which I think is on everyone's wish list at this point, is to have a Spectator mode. But go over, check it out. It's on the Waypoint blog right now. Actually, it's a pretty good read. I read through most of it, and some of the answers were pretty short, so it's not as long and winded as mine was. So check it out. It's a good read. And then we get to this week's bulletin. We've actually already talked a lot about what's going on for San Diego Comic-Con coming up, so we'll go ahead and skip over those details. But we have a couple of matchmaking updates coming down the pipeline for Halo 4 pretty soon. Next week, we'll have Big Team SWAT enter the rotational playlist setting. So that's going to be available starting Monday, and then it'll be ending on August 4th. And they've also added Quick Draw to the Team Doubles playlist. So that'll pop up in the third voting slot every now and then. So even though they're focusing on new projects, they're still taking time to change over the game types. And we got a calendar, I believe, in 2 weeks ago of stuff that they're going. So they at least have another month of, or a month and a half of, quote-unquote matchmaking programming that they're doing. So Big Team SWAT is next week. I can't say for sure whether or not I'll be playing in that playlist, but just so you know, there it is. If you have an obsession for some reason to play Big Team SWAT, now you have a method of doing that for matchmaking. Next up in the bulletin, though, is someone's made a Halo 5 Guardians Forza 5 car, and they've taken some of the artwork from Halo 5 Guardians and done a pretty good job. I'm not a big Forza person. I've actually never played Forza before, but someone has made a Halo Spartan Assault 1969 Ford Mustang Mustang Boss 302. I have no idea what that car is, but
that was actually created a while back.
Yeah, that was done a while ago, and then this one is the McLaren P1 for the Halo 5 Guardians artwork. So lots of detail put into it. It actually looks pretty cool. It's basically a blue body with some yellow highlights and then the Halo 5 Guardian touches on it, from the box art to the chief in the initial teaser that we got, and then basically a comic painting of Cortana on there as well. The detail in Forza for the cars still stuns me. I mean, I don't play it, but just from the teasers and the trailers and all the stuff around Forza that I've seen, it's amazing how much detail they put into that game.
It is. I saw a walk around of the Warthog that they put in there, and just to see how detailed that was. Because, I mean, there's a lot of detail on a Warthog that we don't see in game. You know, the roll bars and the way they, the way they're shaped, the indentations on the gas tanks that hang off the back. It's just, which I always found weird since it runs off hydrogen. But anyway,
It's water tanks. So
water tanks are blue, not red. Anyway, it's a small detail, but it's amazing how detailed they can get in there, I forget what they call it, their garage or their showroom that they use. And this Halo 5 Guardians McLaren is beautiful. Just looking at these stills, as far as, the art that's on it.
Yeah, stunning, pretty much. So that was it for the bulletin this week. Pretty short in terms of actual news. We will see some stuff come out of San Diego Comic-Con. It starts on Thursday next week, so we'll actually have the Nightfall panel to talk about during next week's episode. Hopefully, we'll have another podcast kind of as an intermediary before then, because we have some stuff that I want to catch up on. We actually have a voicemail sitting in our inbox, believe it or not, and we have some submissions that have been long overdue, so I want to do another episode to kind of cover some of that before we dive into the big San Diego Comic-Con stuff. And then shortly after that, we're going to pick up with some more of the normal style podcasts. We'll get back into talking about the campaign or the lore stuff. So I'm actually reading The Hunger Games at the moment. So I'm actually two chapters away from finishing the last book. So once I'm done with that, I'll be reading through the Initiation comics and then reading the last book of the Kilo 5 trilogy and the Forerunner saga as well, or the Forerunner trilogy. And we'll get to get talking about those books pretty soon as well. I got to find people to get on board, because one of the people I was planning to get on, which is Grandbrother One, I can no longer get on. Well, I probably could get him on, but under very special circumstances. So we'll get to that pretty soon. And then there's some other Halo 5 related podcasts that I want to do. The only one we've done so far is Forge, but I do want to get some other podcasts in there as well to talk about different aspects that we want to see in Halo 5. So that is what you can expect coming up after San Diego Comic-Con. And then, of course, PAX Prime is pretty close around the corner as well. It's 6 weeks away, I think. Yeah, 6 weeks away. So I'll be there Griffball Hub will be there. Ready Up Live will be there. HBO will be there. A lot of different Halo communities are going to be there present at PAX Prime. We're going to get some more details, I'm sure, about the Master Chief Collection. And we'll probably have almost all the details that they're willing to share about the Master Chief Collection experience there at PAX Prime. So if you have tickets, if you're fortunate enough to have tickets, then make sure you definitely hit us up at PAX Prime. If you're at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, have fun. Please be safe. Please enjoy the panels. I am going to be super envious of you. But we'll be on the home front trying to cover everything going on here. So, yep. I believe that we'll wrap it up for tonight. Kind of a short show for tonight. Just wanted to get some stuff out of the way in terms of the big news and catching up with the Rooster Teeth announcements that they made regarding the Master Chief Collection. And because Wang Time wasn't on for tonight, that kind of cuts it a little short as well, because I wanted to talk to him about some of the PC side of things regarding the Master Chief Collection, like the inclusion of the Halo PC maps and talking about the potential Halo PC weapons like the Science SMG and Halo 2, and just kind of give an introduction of what he's doing on his channel and what he's doing over at Ready Up Live now.
Seen a lot of good things on his channel. I really enjoy his playthroughs of the custom campaigns on CE. It'd be really good to hear his point of view on this, the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. All right. That's going to cover it for tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check out all the stuff that we covered. I know we covered a lot, so there are going to be links in the show post whenever we get the show posted. Make sure you check out that. It's going to be on podtacular.com. Make sure you guys head over to the forums. We're going to be starting a lot of discussions here pretty soon, especially with San Diego Comic-Con coming up. And that usually generates a lot of discussion around Halo 4. So we're going to have lots of threads going on, lots of stuff talking about Halo 5 as well, and some other things that are going to be coming down the pipeline for Podtacular specifically. So head on over to the forums. If you are not on there already, join the conversation. Participate in our game nights. We're actually... Oh, do you want to talk about the new game night they're going to have?
Oh, definitely. Starting next week, we're going to pick up a second game night. It's going to be on Tuesday, Tactical Tuesdays. We're going to play a mix of Halo 2 Vista, Halo 3, Halo 4, and Reach. If we can... we're mainly going to concentrate on the matchmaking. If we can get a full lobby or enough people, we may be willing to help you out with some achievements.
Sweet.
But to join in on that, all you have to do is message me on Xbox Live at Godzilla Space T. You can also message me on the forums under the same name, or hit me up on Twitter at Godzilla Todd.
Very cool.
And I'll be glad to pass along any of the information you request.
Cool. So make sure you check those out, guys. Again, you don't have to do anything special to sign up or get your name on the reservation list. All you have to do is send us an invite or send us a message, mostly Godzilla Todd, because he's going to be on there. And that's, of course, his gamer tag is Godzilla T. I show up every now and then to the game nights just because of stuff I'm working on. I try to be there whenever I can and at least try to make them every other week just so I can be consistently there and be able to just interact with our fans, which is something I think is important for the Halo community at large. Find a place to get plugged in, whether it be Wacky Wednesday, Tactical Tuesdays, or just perusing the forums. We would love to see you guys get involved with the community and really just get ready for the excitement that's going to be Halo Master Chief Collection and Halo 5 Guardians coming out next year. It's a good time to be a Halo fan, and we hope that you guys can be along for the ride.
Woohoo! I'm ready for it.
Good. Couple of administrative things. Make sure you check out the Podcast Network. It's the network that we're a part of for game-specific shows, including shows like Guardian Radio, which is the podcast for the Guardians of Destiny.com. Of course, they're talking about Destiny, which the beta is out today for PlayStation owners. So if you have a PlayStation and you picked up a pre-order copy, or if you've been managed to be lucky enough to get one of the beta codes that they've been handing out everywhere, then you can go over and download yourself the beta for Destiny. I know I'm going to be playing it on my PS3 until it comes out on the Xbox One, and going to see how that experience is for me. From what I know from playing the alpha a little bit and just seeing some of the stuff, it seems very much like another Borderlands type game. So it's outside of your typical first-person shooter genre game. So if you're not quite into the RPG stuff, it may be a little harder to get into, but nonetheless, it's going to be a solid game. It's made by Bungie, of course. So check it out if you have it. I'm going to have a couple of codes to hand out as well, because you get 3 codes for every pre-order code that you get. So people are giving out codes everywhere. It'd be really hard not to find one. They've been handing... I know Bungie's been hanging out on their Instagram. They've been hanging out on Twitter, Facebook, and they've even had a big image on one of their Bungie updates, one of their mail sacks. So you can find codes just about anywhere. You can probably ask a friend of a friend, and they'll probably have a code that they can just give you. So if you want to take part in the Destiny beta, make sure you just search, scour the internet for codes, and you could probably get in. If not, you can still pre-order the game and still get a beta code. You can pre-order the game, and then if you don't like it, just cancel your pre-order and don't worry about it, and you'll still be able to play the beta for free. If you want to play the beta, there are ways to go play the beta. Along with Guardian Radio, there is Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast, and there's Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast. So check those out. It's a great network to be a part of. They're really cool guys over on all the other shows. So make sure you check them out. That, of course, is thepodcast.com. Make sure you check us out on our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm slowly bringing up the YouTube stuff. I'm actually looking for someone to kind of take that over. So that's going to be one of those community positions, hopefully, that someone can come in and take. Someone that has previous YouTube experience that is a little bit more so than I have. Hopefully look in. But we're going to be looking at opening opportunities like that and some other ones up as well, just to kind of help grow Podtacular and bring it back to kind of some of the glory days that I had back during Halo 2. Which would be really cool. It'd be good ways for you guys to get involved with community, get involved with Halo, and just really interact with some pretty awesome people. Finally, if you are listening to us via iTunes, then make sure you check out our live stream. We record live on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on our Twitch channel. You'll get a notification if you come and follow us, and you can join in on the conversations that we have during the chat. We've actually been getting consistently more and more people, which is a good sign. It means that Halo is doing pretty well. It means that we're kind of building a fan base back with the Halo information that's coming out. And we would really love you guys to be part of the conversations during it. Sometimes we get the chat involved with making some and driving some of the discussions. Sometimes we see some funny comments and we'll comment on it during the show. And then you're forever immortalized in that episode. So make sure you come out and check the live stream. We would really appreciate it if you have the time, of course. And that is going to wrap it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For everyone in the live stream, thank you for coming out. For everyone listening at home, thank you for subscribing. Please share us with your friends. Let us know what you think. Leave comments. Send us emails. Send us submissions and all that good stuff. And we will see you guys next week. Keep on fragging them gungooses.
See ya.